Spirituality is a dangerous topic. Spirit itself seems to be a subject for which we are the object. It's a living experience, a venture which requires us to commit ourselves, says Jung, with our whole being. The New Testament tells us the Spirit searches our hearts and intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words, and also searches even the depths of God. The impulse to individuation is the strongest urge in us. It will proceed one way or another. We're summoned to be loyal to our being and immediately pulled into the opposites, and asked to accept the call and even feel compelled to receive it as if it's laid upon us, heavy as lead. As Jung says, we can choose to walk to our fate or be dragged there by a neurosis. Yet to find that fate and transform it into a destiny, or even further, into a providence, we must create it. Individuation means being and becoming all we're given to be, to engage all the factors that belong to us, to see where the universal will show itself, manifest itself in the very particular me that I am. It costs everything, all the warring parts of ourselves within us and all the warring parts of the world must find ways to talk to each other. And without such effort, without consent to include all these pieces, even the hidden ones, the ones we're afraid of or despise, those parts are going to live anyway in the atmosphere. They're going to poison our children, squelch our enthusiasm for life, stir up dissent with our neighbor, and diminish our joy. In seeking to be all we're given to be, we must not, in Jung's language, give too much of the self away to the ego. When the self is given away too much, then we try too hard to adapt, to conform, and we lose the openness to the heights and the depths of living, where we're surprised that something wants to live through us, speak to us, and bring us home at the end. Now, all of us know somebody who lives from this bigger self, this self that Jung calls the center of the whole psyche, whereas the ego is just the center of consciousness. And we wonder about these people. It isn't that they say anything so wise or that they're extraordinarily beautiful, but when we're around them and other people are around them, we just feel more possible. We just feel we might even bloom. In earlier centuries, we might have called such a person a shaman, a medicine woman, a guru. But in this first decade of the 21st century, when so much strife occurs and we do not have a common ritual to bind us together, we hear Jung say it would be better to admit our poverty, our spiritual poverty. And Eric Neumann said as long ago as 1959, the creative principle in our time hides in anonymity. It discloses its origin by no divine sign, no visible radiance, no demonstrable legitimacy. We have entered upon spiritual poverty. It presents itself in the guise of a beggar. What is the beggar waiting for? He's waiting for us. This means that creative redemption, disguised as every man, makes him dependent on the devotion that every man gives to this every man. This is our situation. Whenever we find the creative principle, we venerate it as the hidden treasure that in humble form conceals a fragment of the Godhead. As a clinician, I look at spirit through the lens of the psyche. And I recall Jung's point that God is never spoken to us except in and through the psyche. And the psyche understands it as the eye beholds the sun. And as clinicians, we ask, well, what is this person's experience of spirit? Does it make for health or for illness? How does the person house this visitation?